You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
ACT Party leader David Seymour has made headlines with his proposal to abolish a number of ministerial portfolios and reduce the size of cabinet, calling the current lineup bloated. He argues that fewer ministers would mean a more efficient and focused government. Seymour's proposal has raised questions about how cuts would impact already underrepresented communities, with concerns removing ministers like Pacific Peoples and Māori Development could reduce vital advocacy and attention. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to ACT MP Simon Court about the proposal and whether it would genuinely streamline government or simply overburden remaining ministers. We also discussed a new members' bill from ACT aimed at removing mandatory climate disclosures for banks. ACT says the rules currently disadvantage rural borrowers and farmers, while critics argue the move signals a retreat from climate responsibility. And finally, we spoke about last week's unprecedented strike action by senior doctors, which saw over 5,000 walk off the job nationwide. But I started off by asking him about David Seymour's proposal to cut down cabinet. Last week, David Seymour proposed to abolish some portfolios and cut minister numbers in a move he said would be more efficient. Would getting rid of these roles really make the government work more efficiently, or would it add a busier workload to the remaining ministers?
Well, the New Zealand government is pretty bloated. It's got 82 ministerial portfolios, more than countries like the UK, the US and South Korea. And these portfolios are held by 28 ministers overseeing 41 government departments. And by comparison, Ireland, population about the same, has 18 portfolios across government. We've got 82 and they've got 15 ministers, or we've got 28. So there is a case, and that's what David Seymour was proposing, that we should look into the structure and functions of government and try to work out, can we do it in a more efficient and effective way? Because one thing I know from having worked in construction projects, for example, and other organisations at local government, that the more managers you've got dipping in and having a look at what a particular project or department is doing, the more time staff are spending reporting up rather than actually getting on with the job. So, when it comes to responsibility, a single minister having responsibility for delivering certain policies and actually making sure that services are delivered in the right way, rather than MB having 19 different ministers it reports to, it's much more likely we'll have a better performing government with fewer ministers and fewer portfolios.
How do you respond to concerns that eliminating portfolios like Māori Development and Pacific Peoples, women, ethnic communities could diminish government attention to minority communities?
Well, if the concern is, will the services and will the policies that are necessary for people in those communities to succeed still get delivered, then I think that's a genuine question to ask. But if it's, do we need a specific ethnic-based ministry in order to make sure that a certain ethnicity are getting the services they need, that's not helpful. We have far too many of these kind of demographic ministries already. What we do know is that for people who need access to government services, as long as whether it's health or education or some other kind of service, getting a driver's license, for example, as long as these things are well-resourced and are accessible to people in different communities, then we shouldn't need an entire ministry in government and a minister responsible for these things to make sure that they happen.
Okay, so without a minister or a ministry representing those sort of communities, how do you propose ensuring the same outcome for minority communities?
Well, the core functions and public services would still be delivered just in a more logical and accountable structure, because in the end, people who need to access government, they need to be able to find the services that they need either online or in person. They need to make sure that when they engage with government that, their ability to be heard is still preserved. And, having demographic ministries is not necessarily going to help somebody who needs, say, dialysis treatment from their local health clinic.
I know this is simply an idea, it hasn't even been floated with the Prime Minister, but does the ACT Party have any tangible proposal or example of how you would ensure to deliver the same outcomes?
Well, look, we have some ideas, but I'm not going to get into specifics now, because if we start focusing on that rather than the general philosophy behind a proposal, we're just going to get into the weeds. The general philosophy is we want a smarter, more accountable government, one that understands and identifies people's needs and can deliver the services in an efficient way to where those people live and you know, for their needs. And what we're proposing is that a much slimmed down, more efficient structure of government should actually deliver better services to people and give taxpayers better value for money. That's the starting principle, without getting into the weeds of, you know, exactly how we would do this.
All right, let's move on to our next topic. ACT MP Mark Cameron has drafted a members' bill to remove banking climate disclosures. How are these current climate rules actually affecting farmers or rural borrowers right now? Why do you want them removed?
Well, what we've heard at Select Committee in Parliament when this question was raised is that farmers, rural businesses and regional industries like mining are actually feeling the pinch with interest rates creeping up, you know, based on their emissions profiles and a growing fear that they have of being debanked. I've personally spoken with mining companies, the New Zealand-owned companies that are providing energy and resources to their customers who can't get finance from banks to expand their operations, even though they've got contracts going out, you know, a decade or more. So it is a real issue. And what Mark Cameron is proposing to do is essentially say, well, look, if we've already got an emissions trading scheme where for every tonne of carbon there is a price on that, at the moment it's about $60 a tonne, then there are no other rules that are necessary to influence or to encourage incentivise business to reduce their emissions. And having the banking sector having to prepare voluminous reports in order to satisfy the Climate Related Disclosures Act in order to make sure that their directors haven't accidentally emitted something that would make the directors liable, it's completely unnecessary, adds a whole lot of cost, and actually increases the regulatory anxiety that banks feel and therefore flows down into their to their customers. And you know, what Mark Cameron says is completely unnecessary. It's not actually helping reduce emissions in any way. It's adding cost to banks' customers. And it also acts as a barrier to competition for new, nimble entrants into the banking sector who might want to lend to these types of organisations doing things that, you know, the previous government didn't think were appropriate, like mining and farming.
Does this proposal speak to the ACT Party wanting to move away from some of New Zealand's current climate responsibilities?
Well, New Zealand signed up to the Paris Climate Accord and made certain commitments. Rather than saying that as a result, your bank needs to know all about your emissions when you go and ask for a loan or when you're proposing to buy a new business and, you know, get banking facilities, what New Zealanders need to know is that the commitments the government signed up to are going to be delivered, and they're going to be delivered through a combination of things, you know, different policies around forestry, for example, but also there's a price on emissions. You know, if you go out and put a litre of petrol in your tank, you know, maybe 11, 12 cents of the cost per litre is paying for your carbon emissions. You know, if you're driving a truck and you're putting 200 litres of diesel into that truck every time you fill up, you know, you're paying, you know, maybe $20 or $30 every time you fill up your truck for your emissions. So that policy is working. New Zealand's emissions are tracking down. That's why all these essentially green and red tape in the banking sector is completely unnecessary.
All right, let's quickly move on to our final topic. I just want to quickly discuss last week's nationwide senior doctor strikes. They were the biggest and first of its kind for senior doctors. What does the ACT Party think about these strikes and the demands from senior doctors? Do you hope that Health New Zealand, or do you think that Health New Zealand should come to the bargaining table again with senior doctors?
Well, The Health New Zealand is at the bargaining table, and Health New Zealand knows that our senior doctors play a really important role in our hospitals, and that's why a couple of weeks ago they put a new and improved updated offer on the negotiating table to reflect this, you know, including offering bonding of up to $25,000 for senior doctors who move to some regions that are harder to staff. But the union refused to put that offer to its members and insisted they would go on strike anyway. That's not a sensible, reasonable, practical way to approach this problem. So the what the government has said and what Health Minister Simeon Brown has said, tell your members about the offer, get them to provide feedback, and then sit down with Health New Zealand and let's complete this negotiation.
That was ACT's Simon Corr on David Seymour's proposal to reduce the size of cabinet, an ACT members' bill aimed at removing mandatory climate-related disclosures for banks, as well as last week's unprecedented senior doctor strikes.
That was Simon Corr from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.